about who Jesus really is, what story would you tell? And the first one that came to mind for me was the woman caught in adultery. And for me, that I love that story the most because it really revealed his heart. His like non-reaction really surprised me. He was calm, he was gentle, he was gracious. And then he said at the end, he said to her, "Sin no more." So he's this amazing, gentle, beautiful person. So the verse that I'm going to speak about today is Matthew 11. It is on, just probably sleeping. It's not working. Okay, so Matthew 11. It feels very light. Are there batteries in there? Okay. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And so Jesus starts here with an invitation. He says, "Come to me." This invitation is for anybody and everybody. And it's an invitation to believe in him. It's an invitation to become his disciple and to become a follower. He's calling everybody who is wearied with life's burdens. And the context of this passage is that he was actually speaking to the Jews that were trying in all their might to follow all the laws. There were 613 laws that they were trying to follow. So they were carrying this heavy burden of trying to earn their righteousness and trying to earn their salvation. And the Pharisees were putting on all these expectations onto these Jews, and they were crushing them with their unbearable demands. So I just wanted to have an analogy. So I need two volunteers. You need to be kind of strong. So any two? Where is my backup plan if there's nobody else? Anyone that does CrossFit? Lerato? Come. You don't want to come? Okay, Wesley, where are you? Come on. And then there's this sandbag, which Wes is going to do. It's a 70 kg one. And you're going to do this one. Okay. So you have to, pick it up. There's kind of a technique to do it. You put your, put it under your forearms, roll it onto your forearms. Okay. And just hold it there for a second. Okay, so Jesus is talking about, he says, "Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden." So different translations, the one says labor, and the other one says heavy burden. Someone else says heavy laden. Okay, and he's talking about people that are firstly sinners. You said you can, you did it in your workout this week. It should be fine. Okay, so people that are weighed down by their sin. So this is for unbelievers that are weighed down by their sin. They can come to Christ and find relief. Then those of us who have repented, but we are still under guilt and shame. This can also be a heady burden. Don't feel shame if you can't hold it the whole time. Okay, then it's talking about believers who are tempted to go back into their old way of life. Then it's those of us who are actively working hard at a peaceful life and we're striving and striving. Or we are passively weighed down by something out of your control, those burdens that other people put on us. And so, this Jesus is saying, okay, sorry, but the analogy is that someone, Paul Dennison, will come alongside them. Warren, come and take, he's going to choose a kind person, take it away. A kind person comes and say, no, the other, what about Wesley? Okay, there we go. Thanks, Lebo. Lebo also does CrossFit. Okay, a kind person comes and takes that heavy burden. That's Jesus. Okay, you guys can put it down. Thanks, guys. Okay, so that is some of us, we can laugh, but some of us are under that burden. We feel that burden. We're walking around with this heaviness on our shoulders. And the thing is, when they were holding this, was it comfortable?
No.
No. Was it easy?
No.
No. Did it fit well? It was awkward, right? They didn't quite know where to hold it. Up here, maybe on the back, maybe would have been a bit easier. So the labor that Jesus is talking about is things we take upon ourselves. So these are sins, bad habits, guilt, worrying about things that are out of our control. And heavy laden implies the burdens that others put on us. Some of us have family burdens, expectations that people put on us. So Jesus is talking about this burden that we can't seem to find any relief from. And he says, come to me. It's the burden of self-sufficiency, of trying to do things all on our own and not turning to him. He says, come to me, not to my miracles, not, he says, come to my teaching, come to me. He is the source of our blessing. And all that come are promised his rest. And if we're not finding that rest, we aren't properly coming to him. So just think of those burdens that you are carrying, that you need to come and lay down at his feet. Because he's got these promises for us. In Jeremiah 31, verse 25, it says, for I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. So there's a new covenant, the covenant of love, which has not 613 commands, but one. What is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the law of love. This is the new covenant. It's not works orientated, but it's grace orientated. But it doesn't mean that we do no work. But he says, I will give you rest. It's the rest that actually energizes you to carry on doing what God's called you to do with even greater vigor. It's immediately available as soon as you come to him. The root word is related to ideas of peace and security and human well-being. It's not your Netflix kind of rest. How often do you binge watch Netflix for hours and afterwards you are still exhausted and you're not filled? It's the kind of rest that brings you satisfaction and enjoyment. It's filling your soul with God. What are those things that fill your soul with his presence? Because Jesus says, the burden I lay on you is light. It's not like the burden that the Pharisees were putting on them. So he says, take. Okay, so this means that it's something that we need to do. We don't just sit back passively. We need to come and take my yoke. So back in the day, the yoke, everyone knew, was the yoke that they used to put this wooden thing across the back of the animals and over the front of their chest, and it would force them to work. It was to bring the animal into submission, into service, and to obedience. But Jesus isn't doing, this is not his yoke. His yoke is appropriate to your abilities, and it's within your limitations. It's fulfilling and rewarding. And his yoke is suitable, good and reasonable, and the word there that in the Greek is also kind, and his burden is light, it's easy to bear, and it's insignificant compared to what the world puts on us. So Jesus was telling them to take initiative, come to me, take this yoke of mine. And if we refuse this yoke of Jesus, we live under the yoke of the world, which is much, much harder. He made a wonderful offer. We must come under him to be his disciples, to be guided by this yoke, not just to receive it, but to follow him. It's to accept it and to choose it for ourselves. So the ancient Jews commonly used the idea of the yoke to express an obligation to God. There was the yoke of the kingdom, which was the obedience to God, the yoke of the law, which is obeying all the rules, the yoke of the command, which was performing obligations, the yoke of repentance, otherwise you couldn't enter the kingdom of God, so you had to fast and do all those things. The yoke of faith was believing in the promised Messiah, And the general yoke of God was the obligation to have a spiritual life of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. So in this context, Jesus is exchanging that yoke. They would understand the yoke being all of those things, all of those expectations. And he's saying, no, forget about all of those. Take on my yoke and learn from me. Watch me. So his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's light compared to the yoke of others. It's light if we don't rebel against it. It's light if we don't put our own worries onto it. It's light if we don't include our burdens. So his yoke here is his rule, his doctrine, his leadership. So Christ doesn't promise freedom from labor and burdens, but he promises that it will change into a wholesome and light yoke. It's Christ that brings this rest to our souls. And we obtain this peace from him. And it gives us the power to obey him. So it's not a lazy life. It doesn't mean we're going to come and it's going to be all easy. But it's submitting to a life of discipleship with him. It's a disciple relationship and it's personal. It's not like the old yoke. So when they were training a new animal to plow, ancient farmers yoked a young animal to an older, more experienced animal who bore the burden and guided the young animal in learning how to do its job. And this is the same analogy. We must yoke ourselves to Jesus. He is the strong, wiser, older animal, and we are the young animal that's learning from him. And that's what we need to do. This yoke is adjusted and it fits well. It's not like these sandbags that were very awkward and uncomfortable. We are made to fit well with Jesus. So we need to choose to yoke ourselves to him. Jesus' yoke also takes away all the things that oppresses us and holds us down and makes us miserable. His yoke is the obligation to receive him as the Messiah. And that's the thing, we don't have to come to him perfect. We come to him as we are, broken and dirty, and he comes and saves us. So he says, learn. Again, it's our initiative. Learn goes hand in hand with his yoke. And he teaches us with sensitivity and compassion. And I hope that as I'm speaking, you'll just rewire. Some of us need a rewiring in our brain where we think of Jesus as this harsh teacher, but he's a gentle, compassionate teacher. We need to become his disciples and we need to be obedient to him. Then this is the part I really want to get to. And it says, we learn from Jesus because, the verse says, the demands of his yoke will bring relief to the weary and burdened because they are imposed by the one who is gentle and humble in heart. So he says, this is the place. So this word doesn't appear many times in the New Testament. It actually only appears three times in the New Testament. So we have to look at other words to see what Jesus actually means when he says that he's humble and gentle. So the first one is a description of Moses as humble. And they say that he's the most humble person on the face of the earth in that time. And that is that he was someone that did not have any self-importance. He didn't look out for his own needs. He has other-centeredness. It's also someone that's been reduced to a lowly position. And humility is the first thing that we need when we come to Christ. We have to be humble and admit our need for him. In Matthew 5, verse 3, it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. So it's the one that is unassuming and demonstrates humility. So we need to be humble. We need to be humble like Jesus was humble. And we can come to him as a teacher because he's not a teacher that's going to admonish us and be angry and impatient. But we can come to him because he is meek and lowly. We need to come to him humbly and remorsefully for what he's done. So this humble and lowly, humble and gentle, is the core of who he is. This is the only place where he claims this about himself. And it isn't a part of who he is, it's the center of who he is. So in the Bible, when they talk about the heart, they're always talking about your whole being. It's not just, yeah, it's just not just a part of who you are. It's what defines us. It's what directs us. And that's why Solomon says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So the heart is a matter of life. It's what makes us human. It's who we are. Everything that we do comes from our heart. And this is what Jesus tells us who he is. At the core, the thing that is most true of him is gentle and lowly. Do we know this Jesus? In John 14, verse 9, it says, Jesus replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? If we don't know Jesus as humble and gentle, do we really know him? And, yeah, so do we really know who he is? We can often talk about people. So I can say to you, this is my husband, Paul. He grew up in Robin Hills. He was one of the first children at King School. He's studied theology at SATS, and now he's been leading at New Creation. He's married, and he's been married for 18 years. He has two children. Do you know him? You just know the data. You know whatever you can find on Wikipedia, right? That's what I've given you. But if you know his heart, what are his passions? What is his purpose? That he wants to see people loving God and living their purposes for God. Then you know him. And I think that's a big challenge for us, because we can know the Wikipedia Jesus. We can know all the facts about him. But do we know his heart? Do we know who he is? Because some of us have a warped idea of who he is. We can think that he's harsh. We can think that he's judgmental. Whatever it is. But he is the most understanding person. So three places that we see this word is in Matthew, where it says, in the Beatitudes, where it says the meek will inherit the earth. In Matthew 21, verse 5, Jesus is coming humble and mounted on a donkey. And then in 1 Peter, in Peter's encouragement to wives to nurture a gentle and quiet spirit. So that's just to give you an idea of what Jesus is talking about when he's saying he's gentle and humble. So he's not harsh. He's not easily exasperated. He's not impatient. He's not aggressive. He is the most understanding person on the planet. He is accessible. He is the most approachable person. No prerequisites, no hoops to jump through. Only to be open to him. That's all he needs. He's tender. He is reaching out, embracing, touching. He's weeping. He's defending. He's restoring. He's dignifying. He's forgiving. He's healing. He's making broken people whole. He's giving the shamed back their God-given image and glory. And that's what I see when I read that story. So you don't have to put yourself together before coming to him. This burden that you carry is what qualifies you. He's not looking for perfection. And he will give you rest. This is a gift. He's tender and open. He's welcoming. Ortland, this guy that writes this book, Gentle and Lowly, he says, if Jesus has his own personal website, the prominent line about him would be gentle and lowly. That's how he would describe himself. But the thing is, he's not this to everyone. He's this to only those who come to him, who take on this yoke, who cry out to him for help. It doesn't mean he's mushy or a pushover. In Matthew 11, verse 20 to 24, it's just before these verses, it says, Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles, because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. So those that don't choose him, he will denounce you. He's not mushy. But if you choose him, he will give you everything. You will find rest for your soul. So this is something that the promise that we need to grab onto. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16, it says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. This is initiative. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. So we need to, if we want to find that rest for our souls, it's walking in his ways. It's following his word. It's reading his word. It's getting to know him and what he wants for your life. So rest of the soul is our true aim. We must seek it and seek it from Christ. Man is made for Christ and his heart is without rest until you find rest in him. That's the only way you're going to be truly at peace. And it's for your soul, not your body. He sustains us with his kindness. His yoke is easy, and it's not talking about easy, pain-free life. It's not like the heavy equipment of the old yoke. It's light. This is why our helium balloons are here. It's what a helium does to a balloon. Jesus' yoke does this to his followers. We are buoyed along in life by his endless gentleness and his accessible lowliness. And this is it. This is the lightness that you should feel. And it doesn't mean life's easy. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord. Can you remember that time when you first gave your life? Maybe some of you haven't done that yet. But if you have, your circumstance hasn't changed, but you feel lighter. You feel like you could dance on the rooftops. It's the most amazing feeling, and that is the rest. That is the rest that he is promising you. But it's coming, giving yourself to him. Amen. So come to him. And I loved searching all these images because it really just softened my heart, and I think it just helps us to, in our minds, to just picture Jesus in this gentle, lonely way. And for us to want to emulate that to those around us. We often tend to think that Jesus is too holy. Why would he want to touch us? And this is a lie we need to break in our lives. We need to stop projecting Jesus, who we think he is, onto him. So our humanness says, if I'm wealthy and I have a lot of money, I don't like the poor people and I look down on them. If I'm beautiful, I'm more put off by the ugly. If Jesus is so high and exalted, he will find it difficult to draw near to the despicable and unclean. We think that Jesus comes to us pinching his nose because that's how we are to others. But Jesus doesn't cringe at us. He loves to embrace us. He does not hold back. And this is why we need the Bible. This is why we need to get to know him, because it deconstructs our idea of who he is. As if you see him as harsh and aggressive, that is how we project him onto others. When people look at you and know you're a Christian, they are seeing what you think about God by the way you behave. So if you are impatient, they are seeing that God is most like that, because that's who you follow, and we are who we worship, and we should be becoming who we worship. We should be becoming gentle and lowly. Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always be humble and gentle. Gentleness is the most underrated and neglected fruit of the Spirit. We always want the joy and the peace and the patience. And I don't know, maybe it's harder for guys to identify with gentleness. But this is Jesus' main attribute, gentleness. And it's irresistible. We need to tap into that. So I'd just like the worship team to please come up. And I just want to read this verse in the Passion, because it sums it up so beautifully. Maybe you can just close your eyes and listen. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I thought that was light. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word reveals who you are. We thank you that your word changes us, that your word is living. We thank you for your promise that your yoke is light, that your yoke is easy for us to bear, that your yoke is made for us. We thank you that we're not alone in this life. We thank you that, just as those two animals are yoked together, that we can be yoked to you, Lord. That even though we have burdens in this life, you tell us in your word that in this life we will have burdens. But if we do it on our own, we can't do it. And our lives will be so much harder. So I just pray that as we come to you, that we would lay down the burdens that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying, the burdens that you haven't assigned to us, that we wouldn't waste our life on those burdens. And I pray for each person sitting here today that as they lay down these burdens, that they would feel the lightness of your yoke, that they would feel that heaviness lifted off of their shoulders, off of their hearts. That they would choose, take initiative and take that yoke. Take that yoke, your yoke of love. That we would follow you.